And I want to listen to a CD that's a radio call. Brittany hassled me for a month to listen to this YouTube thing. She's like, every time I saw her on Wednesday, you listen to it yet? You listen to it yet? You listen to it yet? And so we're going to listen to this. It kind of precludes into our, goes into our service this morning about what we're going to be talking about in our worship time. And it's a call-in radio, Christian radio, and a little boy calls in. He's a 12-year-old boy, and if you're a rancher, farmer, you'll kind of relate to this little boy, and it's about a calf that he had and how that relates to God. And you may have heard it. I'd never heard it, but it was pretty good. Then I began to think about the sermon that I was going to do this morning. It kind of fit into that. So if you guys can play that.
Well, they call him the Sky Angel Cowboy, the voice of a little boy who called a radio station to share a story and a lesson that God showed him, a message that has now captured the world's attention.
This is 13-year-old Logan Henderson. He lives on a ranch in the middle of Nebraska. Isolated from much of the world, he often listens to KSBJ Christian Radio out of Houston, Texas, which he picks up on Sky Angel. In late October, Logan made a call to the station that would soon be heard around the world.
Hey, Mike, can I talk to you?
You bet, Logan. What's up?
I want to tell you something that God just told me.
Okay.
Last night, my dad was roping this calf. And this calf had been born from a really old cow. She didn't have really the greatest milk. She didn't have, like, the vitamin C and stuff.
Okay.
She broke her back. And this morning I went out and put her down myself. I was talking to God. I was asking God why. She was special. And God said, you know, Logan, my son was special, but he died for a purpose. It's kind of the same thing. That calf was close to me, and God's son was close to him.
Logan, you're so right. It's true. Think you're going to be okay?
Yeah, I'll be fine. But I just wanted to tell you guys that that is so important. Just remember, when you lose a loved one or a pet, always remember that God gave his son too, and he understands. He will always understand. He will always just run to him.
Logan, you're wiser than you know, buddy.
Oh, I just figured I'd better call and share with you guys. Love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's go ahead and start our service out this morning. Brother Lester, will you lead us in a word of prayer, and then we'll get going. Amen. I want to start out this morning, you know, and share with you a couple of things. One is, you know, I've kind of shared with you before, there's good news and there's bad news kind of things. Well, there's good news and there's bad news again. And the good news is that the message is like 10 minutes long. And the bad news is the opening is a lot longer. And so I want to begin our sermon this morning and just sharing by starting it out with just one statement. And the statement is, this is for us. What we're going to talk about this morning is for us. It's not for the other guy. It's not for those people outside of our building. It's not for those people that I work with that are lost. This is for us, church people, people that are involved in the ministry and the work of Christ. My roommate in college, Eddie Tarleton, when he did his doctorate thesis, when he was at Southwest Seminary up in Kentucky, it's Southern Seminary in Kentucky, and he did his doctoral thesis on the processes of salvation. And when he first was sharing with me what he was doing, I was like, the processes of salvation? I thought you were just saved and that was it. And he said, well, you are, but here there are processes of salvation. And there were 3 points that he brought out of the processes of salvation. One was the becoming aware of sin in our lives. You know, there's a point of accountability in our lives when we become responsible for our lives. As children, younger children, they may not know what sin is. If they pass away as a baby or a child and they've not known what sin is, then they, you know, the Bible teaches that they go to heaven because they've not reached an age of accountability. But there's a process of understanding that we have sin in our life. And so to become a Christian, we have to understand that we are sinners. And we're all sinners. All of us. And so he said that's the first process. The second one was that we need to understand that because of that, there needs to come a point in our life when we are ready and prepared to resolve. We have a need to resolve that sin, to get forgiveness, to have a lifestyle change, to do the things that it's necessary to take that sin out of our life or to combat it. There may be still sins that pop up in our lives from time to time by actions or attitudes, but we need to have a battle plan against that, a way of fighting the sin in our life. And the third part was the confession and the action of salvation, which was, you know, we've heard in Bible school, the ABCs of becoming a Christian: admit, believe, and commit. The physical work of becoming a Christian, taking that step out of a chair to an aisle to go speak to the pastor, or taking that step to go and talk to someone, and then taking the actions of confessing with your mouth. We're going to look at verses here in just a little bit that talk about the importance of our words, the importance of what we do verbally to God as we honor Him with our words, as we request. People in the past, I heard Bailey Smith many, many years ago got in trouble because he's made comments that God does not hear the prayers of Jews. I was kind of not in the knowledge of what he was talking about, and I didn't hear his sermon. And you've heard Pat Robinson get in trouble for some of the things that he said, and I don't totally agree with some of the things that he says, but there is a process where God listens to our prayers when we come to Him and ask for forgiveness of sins to the point of salvation, where we ask Him to come and be a part of our life. So why don't you take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 12. There are several areas that we're going to look at this morning. One of the things that I want to talk to you, I got a show that I watch, and I hate to admit this as a guy because it's not a real guy manly show. Jody, is Jody back there? He's gone. Okay. What a day for me to point him out. Hope. Jody's a cook and was a chef. But one of the shows that I kind of watch, I hate to, again, admit this, is the Cake Boss show. If you've ever seen that, where he designs all these real cool cakes. There's another one, and it's like Cake Off, Bake Off thing, where there's like 3 people, groups that make this cake. And one of the things that I noticed in the making of the cakes is this one lady had made a 12-tier cake from the bottom to the top. It was like 12 tiers tall, and they're trying to roll it, and it's wobbling and all this. In our Christian walk, once we become a Christian, there are tiers of Christianity. There are levels of Christianity in our life that start out with, at the end of what Eddie did his paper on, the processes of salvation, is where the Christianity levels start. The first one is know I need Christ, to know that I need salvation, and then accept Him as my Savior and do the commitments. And what we have to get past is salvation is not just to miss heaven. I mean, miss hell, I'm sorry. Not just to miss hell. The idea of becoming a Christian is the acceptance of God as our Lord, as our Savior, and as our life and our lifestyle. Where we get off is sometimes as we live through our Christian life, we lose that bottom tier of the commitments that we made when we became a Christian. I'm really, I guess, in my experience and older age and all the things that I've gone through working with teenagers, when I begin to counsel a teenager, I don't just go, well, you just need to pray this prayer. I go through a lot. When I witness to teenagers at camp and things like that, you understand this means it's going to take a total change of your life. If sin is over here, and we want to turn from that, obviously the opposite direction of sin would be God. So everything in our life has to turn towards God. Okay? That's the bottom tier. And if that foundation is not there, that understanding that getting saved is more than just missing hell. It's about what I am. As we begin to grow, there's a second level. And that second level begins to be our life turns towards God. Are we change those things that don't fit into the plan of God? We change the things that are not godly. Okay. Also, we change the attitude of what we do, that the things that we have been blessed with, the gifts of music and singing, like the girls that sang this morning, the gifts of sports, the gifts of rodeo, the gifts of being a cowboy, and I got just a kick at after prom. I think it was Melinda that was talking to Ryan, if y'all don't know Ryan, about raising pigs and how to do this stuff. And I was amazed at his knowledge of how to do all that because, you know, I raise dogs, but I don't really want to. They keep making more. I don't know why. And they just, you know, and then I give them away, and then they make more. I don't know what the deal is. But that's about all I know is dog food, water, and, you know, keep putting them back in the yard, fix the hole they dug out. But I was amazed at the knowledge that he has. Well, in that, in Christianity, we in level two of our tier is the processes of understanding that we need Sunday school, that we need worship services, that we need Bible studies, that we need Sunday night, that we need the midweek worship. We need our quiet time with our Bible. And the problem is that we begin to get so comfortable with the level two that it becomes weaker and we begin to stay in those areas and things begin to become optional. We lose what we had in tier one, which was, I said, I'm going to be totally committed to you, God, in all and everything that I do. And we go, well, I worked in Bible school. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I don't have to go to this. I don't have to do that. And we begin to lose some of those foundations that we started with, and then we got into that next tier. The third tier is when we begin to understand that church and worship and our Christian walk is not always about us. It's about others. Okay? The entertainment aspect of church begins to change. It's not, I didn't come to go hear that great special. I didn't come to hear the choir sing. I didn't come to hear because the preacher does a great sermon. I come to worship God and so that I can use my life and my ministries to reach others. So that I can be an example, even by my physical presence in a church. You know, one of the situations, I've shared this with the youth, at Charleston, Arkansas, when I was there, we had a family that brought a couple in who was a new football coach there. And they brought them in and to the church, and they were there, and the family got saved. The pastor went out, Mike went out to their house, and the family got saved and committed. And the other family that brought them then missed the next month because of stuff, you know, things that came up. And that family dropped out, and we could never get that family back into church. They never got past that second tier, that family that invited them. The fact that it wasn't just me bringing them to church. It wasn't just the foundation of salvation. Now, I truly believe that that family is a Christian family, but I don't know if their kids will be, their children, because now they've rejected church. Like, we could never get them back. Because the physical presence was not just about me witnessing to them and bringing them to church, but my physical presence in church was necessary for them to see that I really lived what I taught. I really lived what I did. It's that third level. The last part of that on the Christian levels is the levels never stop. As we grow, as we develop, as we continue in our walk, we continue to grow in the level of our commitment. I see that in, I use Eddie a lot in my sermons and stuff, and the people that are missionaries, I think there's big steps when people go on mission trips. It takes a commitment level. But when I see a family go over and commit themselves totally to being a missionary, I think, wow. I feel like, I hung out with the missionaries when Eddie's wife passed away a couple of years ago, Terry, my one of my close friends. And I feel like a B-teamer. I feel like I'm second string when I'm around those guys. Because their kids, one of the guys, his daughter, she was going to be a missionary in the Middle East, in an area like Iran. She was going to be a missionary in like Iran or, Iraq, those areas there. And I'm like, and she was just like, yeah, I'm going to go to Iran and witness to the Muslims. And I'm like, you're a girl and you know that they're Muslim. it seemed like that would be strike two, strike three, and you wouldn't want to go. But she was like, I know, that's why they'd so need me there. That's why I need to share Christ there. I mean, she took it just the opposite. Her level was such that, and she was just like 20 years old, was in college, and her level was such a high level because the foundation was there of commitment that my life is about that. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 12. I want to read some verses here, and pretty much that's the opening. Now we're going to get into the sermon. Chapter 12, verse 16 through 21. This is a parable that Jesus wrote to the spoke to a crowd, and he shared this. It says, and he told them this parable: the ground of a certain man produced a good crop. He thought for himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there will be bigger stores for all of my grain and my goods. I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for me for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. I think one of the key things in that is that in our life today, we have so politically correct Christianity that we're afraid to offend people by how we act, how we do, how we talk, how we live, that we have rounded off the edges of what it truly means to be a Christian. You know, in the situation there, I shared with the youth, they're going to get a little bit of what they got Wednesday night because I just had it and I wanted it to come out. When you got that message and you're like wanting to share, and you're just like, okay, I'm going to give them a preview. But in our life, there are many things that come up that distract us. And we have to go back to that level one and understand what Christianity is that we could be taken at any time. And who's going to get our stuff? Now, nobody, I'm one of those people that walks into Walmart and the employees there go, hi, Bob, because I'm there so much. I love Stuff Mart, all right? I love it. I make every opportunity to go there, even if I don't have any money or anything to buy, so I can say hi to all the employees. I realized on the night that that I had my stroke, I didn't realize it until days later that I even had a stroke, but that at any time God could take it. I'm not all eternal, and we as guys are. I heard somebody say this the other day, one of the high school guys said, I'm indestructible. I was like, yeah, right. Me too. Right until, you have the thing that happens that nearly takes your life. And some of you have experienced that in your life. And we've had these children. I think it's kind of shocked our community. I talked to Mr. Matthews this week, and he did a Facebook picture of the father-daughter dance that the school had sometime this week. And he said, every dad that I know was there. It seemed like said the place was packed. They did it as a fundraiser for one of the groups there. He said, it was packed. He said, I think dads, and he has a second grader, and he said, I think dads realized how precious our kids are and life is, that you can be taken in a blink of an eye with the situation and things that are going on. In this verse, it says we got to basically live every day like it's our last. And we are so busy sometimes doing good stuff that may not be godly. It may not be God's stuff. And God has blessed us in such great ways. You know, you look at the first part of that verses, and it talks about he had so much stuff, God has blessed him. And instead of sharing that, you know, God blesses us in so many ways that we don't really realize. He uses you and blesses you in maybe a sports area, or soccer, or baseball, or football. He blesses you in music or knowledge or wisdom, but he blesses you for a purpose that we often miss out on, and that's to reach another whole group of people. Okay? I can't, like I was saying about Ryan being the knowing about animals. I don't know anything about animals. I never did that. I went to the first one. I was in Aspermont, which is a very in-the-country town, and I went to the first pig show. Okay, I'd never been to a pig show ever. Now, Patty, she grew up in Calera, where there was 28 people in the entire town, and it was a small town, and she said, I used to judge those things in school. And I'm like, really? You know? And I couldn't figure out why the guy kept walking around pointing at his pig with a stick, but it was just the way he was standing and walking and all this, and they're like, that's etiquette. That's pig show etiquette. And I was like, really? Who came up with that? Pig show etiquette? You must have really been bored that day. But, you know, he was doing this, and he was showing his animals. And so I went to the pig show because some of my youth were showing the animals. And I said, in all things, we need to be sharing Christ. We need to be living Christ in all things. God's blessed us and given us. I may not be able to reach somebody who raises animals, but some of you guys that do that can. I may not be able to reach somebody on a soccer field or a baseball field or a football field, but I may be able to reach some. You know, we had a girl saved just 2 weeks ago on Wednesday night that had, she didn't realize it. We told her. She'd been targeted now for, I guess, since the beginning of school, August. Sarah Meyer is one of the flag girls with her, and I said, you need to start inviting her to church. And she never went when Sarah invited her, but she knew we were interested. And then it came up on the, she started dating one of the boys that went to her church, and she started coming, and she got comfortable, and then a couple of weeks ago, she gave her life to Christ. Well, there's an opportunity because she does flags, and because I'm in the band room with them, that we got to witness. That's a thing. So in this, it says that we are given so much, but yet sometimes we just store it and hoard it, and we sit back in our church on the pew or on the chair and just kind of ride out the season. And it says, you fool, you could die tomorrow. You need to use the gifts and the things that I've given you. I want you to jump over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We're going to do a little bit of jumping around in the Bible today. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. There's two key things that come out in these verses that I just love, and I think it's something that because of political Christian correctness that we've lost. Verse 13 and 14 says, now all have been heard, all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Think about that. Probably one of the greatest things that's lost and again, I'm not talking about outside there. Obviously, they've lost the fear of God. They'd be in here. I'm talking about in here. We have lost the fear of God. We have lost that. The end result, what's going to happen when that time comes and you have to stand before the Lord? What's going to happen? The fear of God and keeping his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Think about that. It says, fear God, keep the commandments. This is the whole duty of man. It's the only reason we were brought here. It's the only reason that we were created, was to worship God and to lead other people to worship God. That's it. Everything else is blessings that God has given us to use as tools to reach those two things, to fear God more and to understand it and to share it and to follow His commandments and lead people to Christ. All the things, all the cars, all the stuff marked, all the events that we do, the concerts, the paintball stuff that we're going to be doing in a couple weeks, all these things are tools. Once we get to that third level of Christianity in our life, it's not about us doing, it's about us being a part of a plan to bring somebody else to Christ. Because we fear God, we want to honor God, and we want to follow the commandments. Look at the second half of the verse 14. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether good or evil. One of the worst falsifications, understandings of Christians is, because I'm a Christian, I will not stand before God. It'll be like, you know, I'll just pass through. And that is totally false. Okay? We will have a time as Christians, we're not going to go to hell, but we will have a time that we will stand before God and explain what we did. And explain the good things. And explain the bad things. And explain the hidden things. One of the Christian radio stations is talking about an emphasis that they did at camp. I thought was great, and it's called True Confession. Confession of the Hidden Sins. And he said, we spend so much time sometimes as teenagers hiding and making ways around our hidden sin that we can't do what God wants us to do. You know, one of the things that is in churches, we are afraid of this altar because we do not fear God, we fear others' thoughts about us. I've shared this before. I love it at Beautiful Feet when Dale, the prayer warrior, stands in front of the crowd and says, how many have done crack this week? Raise your hand. And there'll be 12 or 10 people that'll raise their hand. And he says, come line up. You need prayer for that. You know, if Brother Lester got up here on Sunday morning and said, how many people use profanity this week? No one would raise their hand, but probably somebody has. You know, how many have had a bad thought this week? A sinful thought, a sexual thought, an anger thought, a backbiting on somebody. How many have had that? We've all had that. We've all had that. But yet we are afraid to confess that to God. And I don't mean coming up and sharing your story. If you want to do that, that's fine. I'm talking about coming before God, God's altar, not Bob's, not Lester's, and sharing with God what's in your heart. Sharing the needs. And so we carry that sin. And then we say, God, why are you not listening to me? God, why are you not working through me? God, why is there nothing happening in my life? Because there's sin separating us from God, and our prayers are going boom, boom, boom off the bottom of that and bouncing back down. Because sin separates us. The Bible teaches that in our lives, there are times that we've got to go back to level one and understand that we gave our lives at the point of salvation to God. We made Him Lord. Not event. We didn't make Him our good class, bad class. We didn't make Him our stuff. We didn't make Him our, I'll fit Him in when I can. I'll work Him into my schedule. I'll try to get Him into my life. We made Him our Lord. We returned to that. When we return to that, level two gets better, and our attendance gets better, and our worship and our use of God gets better, and then level three gets better because we begin to bring people to Christ. And then it continues to grow. Let's go to another verse. Go to Ecclesiastes. Let me see where I'm at. Let me jump down here. Go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoke. By your words, you will be acquitted, and by your words, you will be condemned. The third point of becoming a Christian is your verbal act of accepting Christ. By your words, by accepting Christ into your life, by you saying, I'm going to be a totally committed Christian, you are going to be acquitted, let go, your sins are going to be forgiven, or you're going to be charged. Okay? Sometimes we use that as an excuse. Well, I'm shy. Well, I don't have the right words to say. The right words are, come with me to the church event if you don't know how to witness. The second thing is, share what happened to you, and if it didn't happen, come talk to somebody and get it to happen. Okay? Share what's in your life. The hymn that we sang, He Lives, it says, I walk with Him, I talk with Him. Having that quiet time, having that personal relationship with God, your words are going to point out the areas in our life that we need to do better. It's going to point out people in your mind. When I first saw this girl, and there's others that are being targeted in the band. You know, if you get in the band, you're just on the list. It's funny. I sat and talked with two or three band kids. One's a seventh grade girl, learning a lot about teenage girl talk. Seventh grade girl that's now, she was in our youth group. She's moved now to Broken Arrow. And she's talking to me. She would not talk to her dad. She would not talk to her mom about anything. She's talking to me about tattoos and lip rings. And I'm like, you know, well, you know, I saw this bull that had a lip ring. I don't know what that's about. But, you know, if you want to look like a bull. And I've got another girl that's a sixth grade flute player that has been Facebooking me and saying, hi, Mr. Gregston. You know, and we talked about stuff, and I found out where she went to church. I worked that in, and how often they go. You know, it's really cool sometimes that you can use certain things. Now, if you can ask my kids, I am Facebook and computer illiterate on a lot of stuff. You know, I'm like, come put this picture in for me on eBay. I'm trying to sell this paintball gun or something. And they're like, you do it. I did it for you yesterday. I'm like, yeah, but that was yesterday. I forgot since then. Okay? I mean, I just don't know how to do some of that stuff. But it says that every word that we speak will come into account in our judgment, in our acquitted. Every word that we speak. And it's not talking about, you know, we don't have a confessional booth. We were watching, and I don't know if you've ever seen the show, but I won't tell you what the show is. But I don't understand confessional booths. Okay? I don't understand it. For one thing, it's not biblical, it's not scriptural. But you don't have to come down here and confess to Lester. You have to come down, because he's not your judge. He may give you the evil eye, but he's not your judge. Okay? And I may give you the evil eye and give you a lecture or something. But God is our judge. God's the one that we have to come and share those words with and be accountable to. Take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 12. Very similar verse. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Not lost people. Each of us will give an account. Okay, one of the things that we're going to find out when we get into heaven, it's going to be kind of sad, kind of difficult, was all the opportunities that we missed. And all the people that we may have been with. You know, I think back when I was in high school, of all the kids that I grew up with since fourth grade. I moved into Coma Park when I was in fourth grade and was best friends with, you know, everybody has that group that you grow up with. And I honestly can't remember sharing Christ with any of them. But I had a boy in my personal testimony my junior year, and being a music and youth director's son, I was always in church. I was always there, always involved. Always helping. I was always the extra sponsor. I was always the extra this. I was in college when I got saved, and I thought I got saved when I was younger. But my 11th grade of high school, I had a boy named Danny Cochran that came up to me, and he'd gone to Atoka and went to a revival, and it was one of those, I call them holy roller. You know, it was a very excited type church denomination, but it changed his life. And he came to me and he said, I just got a question for you. I was like, what is it, Danny? We'd grown up since fourth grade. He goes, are you really a Christian? And I wanted to deck him. I was like, you're asking me? You know, how we get in that Christian attitude. I'm like, you're asking me? I'm here every Sunday. I'm here every time. I'm even here when I have to break in. You know, I don't even wait for the doors to be unlocked. I unlock it myself with my pocket knife. I'm here all the time. And you're asking me if I'm a Christian? And I almost wanted to punch him. And then my sophomore year of college, I got saved. And I told myself, I shared it with Patty. I said, if I ever see Danny Cochran again, And I'm going to tell him about that story. And we went to the 25th reunion, high school reunion, and he was there. And I shared that story, and he goes, I remember that when I said that. I said, that got me to thinking, and it just kept burning in my head that somebody would question my salvation and all my worthiness and all my glory and all my deeds, and I was going to go to hell. There will be a time when we will stand before God and account for our lives, whether we're the pastor's son or the music director's son or the deacon's son or daughter. I don't know why I pick on sons. I guess it's because it was me. But there will be a time that we will stand before God and we will answer for all the deeds that we did. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 4. We're getting close. You know, ladies, if y'all would have cooked a brisket in there, this would have been shorter. Because I'd be going, barbecue. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him whom we must give an account. Went to after prom this last Friday night, and I was going to go for... I blame this on Diana Johnson, okay? Because she asked me to come and help set up Xboxes and stuff like that, and the Wii, and some games for the kids at the after prom. And so I went up at 9:30. The prom was supposed to start around 11. Tried to kidnap Kayla and get her to come up, and she's like, you know, she's all the way up to like 22 years old, so she needs her sleep. And she's like, I'm going to bed. It was like 9 o'clock. She goes, I'm going to bed. And I was like, awesome. And then we got there, and we made Hope get out of bed and come up and stay for a couple hours. But I'm sitting there doing stuff at the prom and helping them out and getting it all set up. And they have a hypnotist that comes. And right through the part of the two hours of the middle, it got a little slow. When you say it got a little slow, Rob, everybody was piled on the floor, sitting in groups, just kind of hanging out, talking, going, you know, let's eat more food. Let's do. But then the hypnotist came up, and for an hour and a half, I laughed till I teared up and almost had to go to the bathroom, okay? It was the funniest stuff that people were acting out. And there were so many things that happened when he was doing the stuff. He wasn't doing them like bad things. But, I mean, when he told them all to be 5 years old, And he'd put them all asleep. I mean, even to the point some of them fell out of the chair asleep. And he told me to be 5 years old. There were two of them, two boys that don't even know each other. One was a prom date from another school. Pile on the floor. He didn't ask them to do this. And they start playing in the sand. They're playing in a sandbox. He's like, what are y'all doing? We're playing in the sand. You know, they're playing in the sand. But he had them do different things. And it was so funny. But he had them put on glasses and see everybody in their underwear. And so when he did, you know, some of them were like, oh my gosh, and they were covering up their eyes, and I think it was Ryan Swindell was posing, you know. He was doing this because he thought he was in his underwear. Now, I'm not sure where that's going to go to, but he may need prayer. But the people were beginning to, you know, he had them then act like they were the ones that didn't have clothes on and everybody else could see them. And they begin to cover up, you know, what they had on. And they began to, you know, they were embarrassed. But I thought in my mind, you know, some of those kids that were at that, I've seen them at the band swim party, okay, in a bathing suit that's smaller than their underwear. And it didn't seem to bother them, okay? They were proud to be wearing that itty-bitty bathing suit, you know. They were proud to show off their bodies. And I'm thinking, but really on the inside, is it peer pressure that you're doing that? Because on the inside, when you don't know that you're doing it, you're embarrassed about being in your underwear. Okay? God says that those things that you do in private, those things that no one sees, the thoughts that we have, He's there and He sees them. If we lived every day like, and I love the phrase, oh, the pastor's there, don't say that. Or I'll walk in the band room and they'll be talking about something and I hear kids go, hey, Mr. Gregson, because I'm a head minister. They don't want me to hear them. I'm like, hey, by the way, Jesus is sitting there next to you. listening to that story. God is right there with us. God is watching what we're doing, what we do. God is there understanding our intentions. God is there going, I understand why you're doing that. Are you doing that for me? Are you doing the activities that you do, the extracurricular stuff? Are you doing that for me to use as a tool, as an outreach? I've given you a gift, and I am here while you're doing those things, watching you. And do we live like we have a fear of God that we're going to live and everything we do stands for Him? Everything I do at the school reflects back to this church. If I have an attitude, sixth grade band, heavens. Nobody told me that they were going to be insane the last month and a half of school. They were the best group at the beginning of school. Where's Colton? Colton, you can't share this. But they were the best group. They have been insane. And I'm like, if I yell and scream, they're going to think, you know, the youth minister at First Baptist College yells and screams at us. So I'm like, please sit down so I don't have to kill you. You know, I'm trying to be a good Christian example. I'm trying to. I want to teach. As a matter of fact, there's one or two I want to send to the Lord now. Okay? I said, you want to see Jesus? Nah. You know. But, you know, they see what we do. They see our good times, but they also see our apathy. They see our laziness. They see our church's haphazard attendance, that it's an event that I go to, but it's not that big a deal if I have to miss. They see that, and God does too. God is right there with us. I want you to jump down to the closing. This is Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. I think this kind of closes out the sermon this morning. Chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. In our awareness of where we are on the Christian tiers, or do we even have a foundation? I think that's something that you're going to have to, just like when I was in my arrogance, when I was in high school and the kid asked me if I was a Christian, once I got past that arrogance, once I got past that knowledge, and there's still mistakes and things in my life, and I was at a revival that I had set up at a church where I was the youth minister, and the realization came to me in the service that I wasn't a Christian. I had shared with my dad the week before, I said, I just don't know sometimes if I'm really a Christian. And he said, well, I can't answer that for you, but he said, I can give you a tool to help you answer that. And I said, what's that? And he said, pray that God will give you a lousy week at school, a lousy week if you're not a Christian. And He'll give you an amazing week if you are. And the revival I had set up was on Tuesday night when I got saved, and I only had one day of school, and it was terrible. I mean, it was terrible. We had a pop quiz I hadn't studied for, forgot the information that I did study for, you know, and I just bombed it, and then I had problems in, you know, in class, and a roommate got angry with me about stuff, you know. I mean, it was just like, okay, I got it, you know. And that night, Tuesday night at the revival, I realized that through my arrogance, I had missed Christ. Through my attendance record, I had missed Christ. Through my acquaintances with relatives, I had missed Christ. In verse 22, chapter 7, verse 22, it says, many will say to me on the day, and it's not saying lost people, it's saying many. Church people, lost people, non-Christian, followers, but not believers. You know the difference? Followers, but not believers. Okay? It says, many will say on that day, many will say on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? Did we not do Bible school? Did we not teach a Sunday school class? Did I not go to that Bible study that the church had, brought food up for the meal? Did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, because Jesus always is straightforward and upfront, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. We've got to get back to that bottom tier foundation before we can move up the ladder of understanding that we're a Christian. What it means to truly be a Christian. When we share Christ with others, we've got to make sure they know. It's not just coming joining First Baptist Tallala. I can't tell you how many young people that have given their life to Christ that have never joined this church. And you will never know. The church will never know the ministry that I'm allowed to do with the band and kids that are getting saved that you may never see. Okay? One in Broken Arrow, a little seventh grade girl that got saved at camp last year, never joined the church, never could get her parents to come. She's a Christian and she still talks to me. You know, there may be many others. Lori's never made it. She can't get her family to come, so she's on that edge. We're working that. Okay? Ryan's coming. He's working on his family. All right? There are things that God says you may not see the results till your time of a judgment, your time that you set aside when you're standing before God, and those hidden things that nobody else in the church saw you do for God. And he goes, I saw that. Thank you. But there's also going to be a time that if we don't know for sure that we're going to go to heaven, that the struggles and the actions and the acts that we do at church don't mean anything to God. It's got to be real. Let's all bow our heads. Brother Lester, come lead us in our invitation time.